1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look tonight at the gift of faith. The gift of faith. From time to time, as you're turning, I want to remind you of the importance of how the gifts fit together. No one person has all the gifts, but each of us have those gifts God has divinely given to us. You don't choose what you have. God gives it to you. And then when He gives it to you, it is for you to acknowledge that gift in your life. And when you've acknowledged it, then to begin to exercise it. In some cases, you're already doing it. You simply want to thank God for showing you that it is the gift you have. And the joy in all of that is that I don't have to do what somebody else does. In fact, the body will function much better. We'll get much more done, we'll be much more effective if I don't try to do some of the things that some of you are gifted to do, and rather just defer to you and let you do them. And likewise, as you defer to me. And that's what makes the body what it is. That's what makes us move together in order and to accomplish the things that God wants done right here in this place. And so as we study these gifts, it is not simply to inform our mind, but really to instruct us by the Holy Spirit to point out to us, reveal to us what our gift is, and then to show us how we can employ that gift in service of one another and those outside the church in the ministry of Christ. All of the gifts are important. Every one of them have their vital place in the body of Christ. And none of us have to take a second seat to anybody. We just praise God for one another and thankful for what God has done in our lives. I don't have to covet your gifts. I can thank Him for what He's given me. And you don't have to covet the gifts He's given someone else. All of that simply to review, to keep in front of you the purpose on why we are studying these gifts. I just believe that ultimately when we get through, that we ought to have the kind of army in our church family who knows what their purpose is, knows what they are gifted to do, and then gets on doing it. And when we do that, wow, get out of the way, watch out. No telling what's going to happen in this place. When God's people accentuate the positive in their life, which is accentuating the spiritual gifts that God has given them. What a liberating thing it is to know your spiritual gift, to be able to say yes to those things that God has said for you to say yes to, and then to smile and without any guilt to say no to the things that you hadn't ought to be doing. Not good grammar, but gets my point across. In verse 9, we simply want to point out again, anchor in the Word of God, that this is a bona fide spiritual gift given by the Spirit of God, the gift of faith. He says, to another faith which is given by the same Spirit. Now, I want to define at the very outset, as I do each night, the meaning or definition of the gift of faith. It is the God-given ability to see beyond problems. Underscore that word. The God-given ability to see beyond problems and needs, to lay hold on God's promises for results beyond our ability to achieve. Ooh, I'd like to covet that gift. Doesn't that sound exciting? Now hear it again. The God-given ability to see beyond problems and needs, to lay hold on God's promises for results beyond our ability to achieve. Boy, I'll tell you, we need a bunch of those folks just sort of slopped around in the family. Don't you agree? People who have the ability to look beyond problems, who when they are faced with problems don't get all uptight and flustered and say, oh my, what are we going to do? But folks who are able to peer beyond the problems, and people who, whenever they see a need, don't just say, wow, there's a great need. How are we going to meet that need? But people who are able to see beyond the problems, to see beyond the needs, and to lay hold of God's promises. I'm going to tell you that is a key to a person who has the gift of faith. They have the ability to see in God's Word those promises. They just seem to leap out at a person who has the gift of faith. And they latch hold of them, and they hold on tenaciously until they see God fulfill that promise in relationship to the problem or in relationship to the need that is presented. They are people who do not see things from the perspective of what they can accomplish or even what we collectively can accomplish, but they always see it from the standpoint of what God can accomplish. And that's another key to this business of a person who has the gift of faith. One man has defined it something like this. In fact, Jack Taylor quotes it in his book on prayer. He says that faith is believing something that is so when it isn't so, so that it will be so. Now think about that again. Faith is believing that something is so when it isn't so, so that it will be so. You see, that's a unique character. It's a unique personality. It is a unique gift given to the body for somebody to just believe beyond the circumstances that surround them. Now, I have to be honest with you. This is not my gift. I wish it were. I wish it were. I just love this gift so much because I see how wonderfully it is able to bless the body, how it is just able to captivate the hearts and the mind of the body. And I have seen it operate, and it operates in those people's lives in such a wonderful way. It just lifts them beyond the problems and the circumstances that surround them and says, I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care how bad things look. I don't care what the needs are, how overwhelming those needs are. All I know is that God said He will supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. And brother, I'm going to hang on to that until I die. And they'll just carry us along. I've seen people with the gift of faith literally care the family. I've seen people with the gift of faith just pick up a church and carry it literally on its spiritual back in order to see victory come whenever the church body was not able to trust God enough to see it done. I've seen some of those in the family have enough faith to just say, God, I'm going to believe in order that the whole family can see your victory. And brother, God did it and woke a lot of people up in the family. It's a marvelous gift. It's the kind of gift that always keeps you pointing in the future and does little to look in the past. It is the kind that not simply learns lessons from the past, but says sometimes God goes outside of the ordinary of the past, and sometimes God just absolutely bumfuzzles everybody and does things we don't dream He's going to do. And they believe God to do those kinds of things. Well, one with this gift is one who has a vision and a foresight. Now, the gift of leadership also has that, but one with a gift of faith has to have vision and foresight. It is just part and parcel of the baggage of what it means to be one who is gifted with the ability to trust God in spite of everything. They demonstrate, these people who have this gift of faith, an unusual confidence and boldness. I love that word, boldness, too. See, these people with a gift of faith, they are so bold, they're bodacious. I mean, they'll bowl you over with their boldness. They just have the ability to just say, look, we don't have to worry about anything. I am bold enough to stick my neck out because my neck is not on the chopping block, it's with God. They have confidence, unreal confidence, supernatural confidence. Absolutely confidence that goes beyond any human ability to comprehend. They have the kind of confidence to trust God through it all. That's these people with faith. They're the ones that serve to propel the body of believers into actively claiming the promises of God. I have a dream, and I'm going to see it fulfilled one of these days, and it is for a Bible conference that is centered on praise and promises. We're going to do that. I've got some folks in mind that I want to come and teach us, number one, how to praise God, and number two, how to latch hold of the promises of God. Some of you have read Preacher Halleck's book, and I loved it. Someone gave it to me, and I appreciated it so much because he just talks about, I guess it was his trademark, getting a promise from God and believing it. That's what we're talking about in a person who has the gift of faith. They just claim God's promises, and they propel the rest of us into actively doing so. They are the people in the church that face insurmountable problems with an optimism that just is unreal. And I like those kind of people. I love to be around them. I just hope some of it will rub off on me when I'm around them, because they just have an uncanny ability to be optimistic about everything. I mean, you just cannot down one of these persons with a gift of faith. Well, I want to illustrate before I go on.
one of my deacons back in Jackson, I loved him so much. He was a young deacon. In fact, we ordained him while I was there. But he was the kind of fella, was quiet. You just didn't see him out front much. But I'll tell you something, he was the kind of guy that had a faith that was unreal. He started his business, and it was simply from a revelation of God that he started it. He simply said, God, you have shown me do it. God gave him a promise in the Word, and God promised him that his business would be a business that would succeed. And I'm going to tell you, the odds that this young man started his business on were absolutely unreal. I wouldn't have started that business for anything unless I had a direct promise from God like he did. He had a promise from God. He started his business, and he just claimed the promise of God, and his business is still going, and it's in a downtown area that's just falling apart, but his business is still there, and it's prospering. He was the kind of deacon that would come up beside me as a pastor, and every time we got into a hard scrape, and in Jackson we got into several of those, you know, seems like they seem to follow me. I don't know if that's my character or what, but nonetheless. Every time we were faced with hard decisions in the life of our church, every time it was brought us to the point that we had to make some critical decisions, sometimes it was financial. And our church didn't have faith in Jackson. We just didn't know that very much. Now, I'm not being critical, because every church has its characters, its flaws. I have them. I was a pastor that had them, I promise you. But faith was not our long suit. We were strong evangelistically, and I was proud of that in our people. But faith was not our long suit. But boy, this deacon had just come up beside me and say, Pastor, he said, God's given me a word, and he said, you just go ahead and stick your neck out. God's going to see us through this thing. Well, this guy without faith would say, yeah, easy for you to say. It's my neck, not yours. But I found to listen to that guy was to do what God had his will. And I began to trust him as he trusted God. He began to show me as a pastor how whenever I faced problems, the first thing to do was not to holler and scream and lay down on the floor and kick. And it wasn't even to go home and cry on my wife's shoulders and tell her how bad everything was, but it was to realize that even in the midst of what seemed to be difficult circumstances, God had an answer. And God put us sometimes in those circumstances to lead us out to the other side where He wants us to go. And sometimes we wouldn't go except He put us there. That deacon would just keep coming by and pumping me. He said, I got a promise the other day. And he'd show it to me. And I'd read it and I'd say, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. It's amazing what that man could do for us. And a lot of people didn't even know it. They didn't even realize what was going on. But this young man had the gift of faith. He loved the Lord, and he continued to trust Him. Well, let's look at the background of this word faith, what it means. Really, in its base meaning, and I love this because it really, I think, gives us the character of faith more beautifully than any other way of putting it. Faith means to trust and to believe, all of those synonyms that we use. But literally, in its Greek form, it means to intertwine, that is, to bind together. And so one who has faith is intertwined, intermeshing itself, himself with God. When a person has faith and God says, this is what I want, why, they just intermesh their life with God's life. And they are so intertwined, they are inseparable. It is like laying two pieces of steel down together, drawing a bead on them, smoothing them off until you can't tell where the bead's been drawn on those two pieces of steel. Welding them together, polishing and shining them until you cannot tell where they've been welded. That's exactly what it means to have faith. It is for your life and God's life to be so intertwined and so intermeshed that you get the mind of God and believe God because you know what God's talking about. That's what faith means in its very basis meaning. There are four kinds of faith that are mentioned in the Bible. One is the kind of faith that is intellectual. And some of you in EE will remember a couple of these. Intellectual faith. Just simply saying, well, I believe there's a God. Well, whoopee, that's wonderful, you know. That's not faith. That's not faith at all, really. But it's a kind of faith that some people call faith, which simply says, I believe there's a God. James says that the demons know there's a God and tremble. They shudder. They are fearful of the fact that there is a God. But that doesn't make them get any points with God, I'll guarantee you. There are a lot of people in our world that have that kind of faith, but I'm not here to preach about that. There's another kind of faith mentioned in the Word of God. Oh, not described in those terms, but seen in a lot of different places. It is what we call temporal faith. The kind of faith that says, I'll trust God as long as it is behooves me to do so, and it is good for me to do so. But whenever I get tired of that, or whenever I get to feeling my oats, I don't need to trust God anymore. That's not the gift of faith, I'll promise you. It's the kind of faith many of us exercise, but it's not biblical faith. There is a saving faith that is described in the Bible, as I preached about this morning. It is simply the kind of faith that says, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and that He rose from the grave, and that He allowed me to be forgiven of all my sins, and I shall be have the victory of the resurrection in my life. It is trusting Jesus Christ for eternal life. But that's not the gift of faith. The last kind of faith mentioned in the Bible is what I would want to describe as miracle-working faith. Now, Baptists, don't get nervous. I know that we are sometimes frightened by the idea of miracle, but I don't believe Oral Roberts has the corner on it. I haven't seen a 900-foot Jesus, but I'm going to promise you He's just as real to me as He was to him. Well, I'd like to preach on Him a minute. Heard Him telling you to send your tithe to Him today. If I've ever heard a man out of the will of God, that's one. Because that's to the church where your tithe belongs. But anyway, I won't chase that rabbit. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 11. Verses 22 through 25. This is the character of the kind of faith that is given to one who has the gift of faith. Now understand, Jesus says that all of us ought to reach out for this kind of faith. It ought to be the kind of faith that we put in Him. But those who have the gift of faith have an uncanny ability to trust God, and they are the ones who not only strive to have this kind of faith, but brother, they just have it. It is a part of their spiritual makeup. It is the way God has formed them. It is the way God has created them. Jesus said, have faith in God. That's a simple statement. And then He illustrates or makes an explanation of what He means by that. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, they shall be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, etc., etc. Now here's the point. There are times in my life when I exercise that kind of faith. Times in your life that you exercise this kind of faith. There are those times whenever you are willing to trust God in the midst of your circumstances and believe Him to do what literally is a miraculous thing. I shared with you some weeks ago. I'm not a healer, but simply God gave me a promise about one of my deacons in Jackson, and I trusted God, I believed God, and I asked about him the other day when I called back, and they said he's just as good as he ever was, and he had the kind of cancer that would have killed him in 6 months. Now, I'm not saying I healed the man. I'm simply saying that God showed me a promise. I trusted it. That was one of those times I was able to operate in this Mark chapter 11. But I have to be honest with you, confess to you, it is not the home where I live. It ought to be, but it's not. But a person with a gift of faith finds himself at home in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 25. It is the place where they live. It is the kind of faith that they exercise day after day after day after day. It is just the pattern of their life. Not a once in a while thing. Not something that they muster up or stir up in their heart. But God has born them in that kind of faith. And they exercise it. And that's the kind of faith we're talking about. Whenever Paul says that some are given the gift of faith. Well, I think as beautiful a biblical explanation of this as ever to be found is in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to turn over there for a moment. Remember that the writer of the Hebrews explains what faith is in the very first verse. He says that faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for and the conviction or evidence of things not seen. A person with the spiritual gift of miracle-working faith, that kind of faith that accomplishes the supernatural, is a person who is able to see things in the future and to believe them, even though with their tangible eyes, with their physical eyes, they can't see them, but with their spiritual eyes, they see them accomplished. Isn't that amazing? God shows them some things in the future that the rest of us just don't see, because God has gifted them with the gift of faith. This whole chapter is a complete, beautiful explanation and illustration of what he talks about when he describes faith. I want to choose just two, because I don't have time to talk about all of them. But it will help to illustrate what I'm talking about. Verse 7. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. You see, that is the character of faith. Things not yet seen. Yet God revealed to Noah what was about to come. In reverence, Noah prepared an ark for salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You see, Noah did a really supernatural kind of thing. Noah found grace in the sight of God. That's not unusual. All of us who know him as Lord and Savior have found grace in the sight of God. But Noah was willing to hold on to God and to do what all the rest around him was unwilling to do. They said, no, I will not believe that God is going to bring judgment. But God had said, I will. God said, Noah, build an ark. Everybody must have thought that he was crazy. But Noah said, God said it, I believe it, it's so. I'm going to believe something that is so that it, even though it's not, so that it will be. That is, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe what He's told me, I'm going to believe what He has shown me, even though with my physical eyes, I haven't seen it rain one drop. You talk about a gift of faith. This guy did it for 120 years. That's the gift of faith. I have trouble holding on for a week. You know, I'm impatient. God doesn't answer me in a week. I figure, you know, I've been praying wrong. That's not necessarily so. And then in verse 8, another beautiful illustration. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And notice this next line. He went out not knowing where he was going. Every time I read the life of Abraham, I am amazed. Of course, he is described as the man of faith. But God just said, Abraham, get up and start on your journey. Now, any Baptist ought to know that there's got to be, first of all, a budget. And secondly, there's got to be a well-developed strategy. There's got to be goals and objectives. We've got to know where... Now, I'm not knocking those things. We ought to have those. But see, every once in a while, God does things that Baptists aren't used to. And He just told that old-time Baptist Abraham, get up and go where I want you to go. Abraham said, that'd just be fine. God, won't you tell me where you want me to go? And God said, no, I just want you to go. And he did. God blessed him. God's still blessing Abraham. Did you know that? Through his seed, God's still blessing Abraham. Why? Because he's a man of faith. God said, go, and Abraham went. Abraham had the gift of faith. I want to mention to you, I think, probably the most fantastic in my mind, extra-biblical example of faith that I just know anything about. There was a man by the name of George Mueller. Some of you have read about him. And George Mueller in England decided, God just revealed to him that he was to do nothing except as he did it by faith. Well, George Mueller had an orphanage. And he had the responsibility of all those children, of feeding them, taking care of them, seeing to it that all of them had food and clothing, etc. But George Mueller was convicted that he was never to go out and ask anybody for anything, but only to ask God. That's faith. He must have been a Methodist. And George Mueller got on his knees every day and he prayed and asked God, claimed the promises of God, and every day God provided. Every day. Every day. Didn't miss one time providing for the needs of George Mueller and that orphanage. And to me, that's one of the most powerful examples of what I'm talking about when I say God gives somebody the gift of faith. the ability to trust God when you don't have it looking you in the eyeball. You see, most of us live right here at the end of our nose. And if we can't see it, we're not going to believe it. Most of us are like the disciples were. And yet you remember Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen." We study in 1 Peter. Remember what Peter said? "You have loved Him even though you haven't seen Him. You believed in Him even though you haven't seen Him." Oh, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's the picture. And a person who has the gift of faith is one who has that ability to believe even though they can't put their hands on it and their physical eyes cannot see it. When God puts it in their heart, they just believe it. Now, the thing of it is, when these gifts are all mixed together, see, we need some people with the gift of faith. Some people that when the rest of us are down here in the muddle trying to figure it all out, and the rest of us when we're trying to get it in tangible terms, we need those people who will stand up and step forward and say, "Listen, I have a word from God." And the word from God is, the promise of God right here in His Word is that we don't have to worry. We just must trust Him, believe Him. He'll take care of us. We need people like that. Challenges to move us. Let me give you some practical application of this gift before I run out of time. I think any pastor or staff member that is gifted with the gift of faith is blessed indeed of God. Now, I've already told you, I'm not covenanting it, almost, but not quite. I had a minister of education back in Jackson who had this gift, and he was the guy in staff meeting that when we started worrying about whether we were going to pay the bills or not, and we did that quite often in Jackson, whenever we started worrying about whether we're going to pay the bills or not, he'd just say, "Well, let's just get on our knees, just trust God, He'll take care of it." And he wasn't saying, "Let's go off blindly." He generally meant, "Let's get on our knees, and if we're in the will of God and we're asking Him to provide, to meet the things that are His demands on our life, He'll do it." And we get on our knees and pray, and God would do it. Now, that shouldn't surprise us, but He did. Blessed is a pastor or staff who has that kind. In fact, I'll tell you that as I have looked across America, the kinds of pastors and staff that are leading great churches, that the pastor, primarily the pastor, but the staff as well, the ones that I have found that are leading great churches either have the gift of leadership or the gift of faith. It takes one or the other to really get the job done. Now, I've just seen that. I've observed that. Doesn't make it so because I've observed it. It's just something I've seen. They either have the gift of faith or they have the gift of leadership, one or the other, because both of those are visionary. And to be a leader, you've got to have that kind of vision to be able to stretch people, to dream, and to help people to stretch their dreams. And so blessed is the church that has a man who has the gift of faith, who is their pastor. Sorry about that one. I think that finance and stewardship committees ought to have this gift. I think there ought to be people on those committees who have this gift. Now, we need some people who have the gift of administration and some who have the gift of leadership and other things. But I think on some stewardship and finance committees, we have to have some of those who have the gift of faith. I used to think, quite honestly, when I walked into, I won't even say which church, but in one of my churches, when I walked into finance committee meeting, I thought I was getting ready to go into the gloom and doom meeting. I mean, they all looked like they'd been sucking on dill pickles for 3 hours before I ever got there. And you go ahead and sit down and, "Oh, me, what are we going to do?" Never once thought that God could do anything. What are we going to do? Well, I'm thankful that God has gifted some of our people on our committee, as best I can determine, with this gift. And I praise God for it. And you as a church ought to thank God for it. And we ought to see as we put people on committees, we always get some of those. In fact, a good, healthy sprinkling of those with the gift of faith on those committees. But then I want to spend a moment, it looks like only a moment, on something I think vitally important. I want to announce something tonight, and it's the greatest joy I have to announce it. I want to tell you, I am so absolutely excited about what I'm about to tell you. I've been your pastor now for 7 months, and I came here, before I ever came here, I started praying for God to lead me, that at the right time, at the right place, and with the right people to begin a particular ministry in the life of our church. And it relates itself to this gift of faith. And I prayed all of those months, and I've asked some different ones in the church to pray with me, and I've asked my staff to pray with me about it, and I've told them how important this ministry will be to the life of our church. In fact, as much as any ministry that I know of, and I include in that Sunday school, evangelism, explosion, all the rest, I have been praying for God to burden my heart with the right people to lead that ministry and to show me the right time to put it in place to get us rolling in this particular ministry. And God's done it. And He didn't halfway do it. He confirmed it about 6 or 7 times. First of all, the timing of it, and second of all, the persons to lead it. And when we elect them in our next business meeting, they will officially, they're unofficially already been appointed. I guess I can do that. I don't know. Who wants to go by protocol anyway? But they're going to be leading this ministry in our church. And I want to promise you, family, that of all the ministries that we have, if this ministry will be undergirded by those of us who are involved in the life of our church, and particularly those of you who have the gift of faith, if you will put your life into this ministry, I'm going to tell you that the years ahead in the life of this church will be phenomenal. They will be something that are supernatural. They'll be above anything you and I ever dreamed could happen in this church. And I'm a big dreamer. I just believe if this ministry is supported and undergirded like I believe it ought to be, and I think God has shown me it ought to be, I think my dreams are even short of what God will do in the life of this church. We're going to be starting in the next few weeks an intercessory prayer ministry in the life of our church. I had one in Jackson. Never was there a day when I went into a pulpit that I didn't have 2 deacons in the prayer room praying for me, lifting me to God. And I'm going to tell you, I felt like Moses. I had 2 men on each side holding my arms up as I preached. And I knew that they were interceding for me at that very moment. Every day I'd come walking out of my office and there would be some of those folks going into the prayer room to pray and to labor over those. I mean, intercessory prayer is work. They were going into labor in faith believing that God would do things in the life of our church, that God would do things on the mission field, that God would do things in our state, that God would minister to people all around the world. And God did it. Glory to His name, He did it. And we had the joy of seeing it over and over and over and over and over again. Nothing ever blessed my heart like that ministry. And God has told me to do it and to do it now. And He's led me to ask Bill and Denny McConnell to lead that ministry in the life of our church. And God confirmed in their hearts that that's exactly what they needed to be doing. And they're going to start leading that ministry. And I'm going to expect and ask you to give them all of your cooperation. It's going to be a ministry. We're going to have a prayer room. You're going to come up here to pray. And we're going to load that thing up day in and day out with intercessors coming and beseeching the marvelous throne of grace, just praying back to God what He puts in our hearts to pray. Isn't that neat? Exciting? Amen? Oh, you're going to have to get more excited than that. Amen? Amen. Glory. I think that intercessory prayer is where this thing of faith comes into play. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you've got the gift of faith and you don't get involved in the intercessory prayer ministry, if you don't hang on to God in behalf of this church, you're worse than a reprobate to say no to God and to not pray in behalf of this church. Well, that's strong terms, but I believe it. If you've got the gift of faith, you better find yourself in that prayer room interceding, beseeching. You say, but I can pray at home. I know all of that. But I'll tell you something, you'll bless your pastor's heart when I come walking out and see you go in that room. See, I don't know you're praying at home, but I know you're praying in there. And we're going to ask God to protect that room and put His shed blood over it and cast out the demons of hell and protect that place and make it sacred ground that when you walk in that room, it'll just almost strike you on your face because of the power and the awesomeness of God's presence in that place. If you've got the gift of faith, oh, find yourself. Find yourself with miracle-working faith going in that room beseeching God in behalf of the needs and the problems. Because you see, if you have this gift, you know God's bigger than all of it. And we need you desperately. I think certainly that one of the things that needs to be applied if you have this gift of faith is in support of mission work, and volunteering and going. We have in our convention now a system whereby you can commit your life. Just say, I'll go. I'll find support. I'll find people that'll help me, and I'll go and I'll serve. And God just might be calling some of you to do that. Well, let me close very hurriedly by just sharing with you the tendencies of this spiritual gift. person who has the gift of faith has a strong belief and reliance on God when foresight and future goals are involved. They are optimistic, courageous, because they believe they are in partnership with God. I like that. They have unusually impatient with those who disagree because they have such complete assurance that what they are doing is God's will. That person is usually impatient with logic, cautious thinkers, and thus have difficulty understanding the bureaucratic system. I'd almost qualify on that one thing. I love to watch a person with faith get up against a bunch of bureaucrats. It's so funny. I mean, you can just see him just roll up in the ball and frustrate the life out of a person with faith. You're telling them all the things that have got to be in order for God to work, and they're saying, God's already working. Why don't you give up playing with the organization? Get on with it. I love that. I like it. Person who has the gift of faith is concerned with goals and tends to overlook details. That's an understatement. They desire to see seemingly impossible tasks accomplished. I mean, a person with a gift of faith thrives on the impossible. And a person with faith provides continual vision for others amid seemingly hopeless situations. You have the gift of faith, stand around me a lot, will you? I need you. I need you to encourage me and strengthen me. And to keep on saying, hey, preacher, get your eyeballs up. You're looking too low. You need to look on up. I need people like that. All of us need people like that around us. Thank God for the gift of faith. Well, if I was going to get excited about any gift, that'd be it. Right there. And if you have it, I pray to God you'll find your place in the ministry of this church, particularly through intercessory prayer. Well, dear friend, I've preached to the body tonight, as I often do, but I've talked about faith. One of the things that I mentioned in our sermon tonight is that there is that kind of faith which is called saving faith. Faith that when God places it in your heart and you respond to Him by saying, yes, I do believe that You died on the cross for me, and yes, I do believe I can be forgiven of sin, and yes, Lord, I want You to be Lord and Savior of my life. The Scripture says that at that moment when you do it, you'll be saved. You'll come to know Him, and He'll be yours, and you'll be His, and your lives will be intermeshed. You'll become one in union with Christ Jesus. I love what Paul said. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in union with Christ Jesus. That happens when you put your faith in Him. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight to just reach out and take Him by faith. For some of you, you need to come and place your life in this family and be a servant here of the Lord Jesus. You just need to say, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to be obedient to You. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. But we're only going to wait a moment. But it's a precious moment, a time when you can respond to the call of God in your life.